Welcome. Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your blessings, Lord God. Help us to be like the little children, Lord God, just trusting you wholehearted, not worried about getting everything perfect in our life, Lord God, just growing and maturing in you, Father. Trusting you as a child trusts his or her parents. You will always provide for us. Thank you so much. As we get into your word, Father, in the book of Ruth, we pray, Lord God, that you'd speak to us yet again. Through all the different word definitions that are in there, there's just tons of them. Help it to come together. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just roll all this up together in a nice package that we may understand and have fun going through it, Lord God. That we would learn the truths, the principles of God as we go through it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the book of Ruth, it's a really cool book because it's truly a love story. But it's not just a love story about a man and a woman. It's a love story about our Lord as we fall in love with Jesus, our kinsman redeemer. And this kinsman redeemer that we're going to see later on as we go through the book of Ruth, we're going to see how he has what it takes to redeem. And Jesus Christ has what it takes to redeem us. Amen. He does. He's paid the price. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He bled. He was the perfect sacrifice. He did everything. But now as we get into it, we're going to see kind of a cool little thing. There's these different words we're going to be giving you. They're the words that are in there, but like, for example, Bethlehem. It means house of bread. And Judah means praise. And there's all these words that we're going to see right here in the first chapter that just kind of, it's almost like a fairy tale when we use the words. We're going to read it through with, you know, the word Bethlehem, and then I'm going to read it through with using the word house of bread and so. And you're going to see how it kind of like a Snow White kind of story just kind of unfolds. And it's really cool. The key word here is commitment. The first time it's mentioned in the book of Genesis, the first time, I love looking at the first time mentions because oftentimes it's very significant. Ruth means beauty. You're going to see that. The title of the message is, Don't Run Away. Because that's what they did. They were in the house of bread, we're going to see. They were living in the land of Judah, the land of praise. And like so many Christians, because something happens and our eyes are on a movement or on a man or a woman or a situation, when things fall apart and things happen in our life and there's a famine, if you will. They went through a famine in the house of bread. But rather than staying tight with Jesus and just trusting God as a child trusts the parents, they fled. They ran away. And they ran to this place called Moab. And you know the Moabites? The Moabites were the grandson of Lot. And that's where this very group of people came. And it's interesting because Moab means dumpster or washpot. And they ran from the house of bread in the land of praise to the land of dumpster. Why would anyone do that? Why wouldn't they just trust God where they were at during the famine, knowing that He will provide through the famine? You know, when times are lean, God provides. He brings people alongside and He provides through His people. When things are lean in our spirit and there's a leanness in our spirit and we have a day or a week where we don't feel the presence of God perhaps and the enemy is pressing in and it's like a famine in our spirit, don't run. Where are you going to run to? The thing is, just sit tight. God's going to get you through it. I had a day like that. I talked to a brother of mine who had the same day, and it was like this oppression and just pressing and pressing and didn't know what was going on, but it just felt kind of weird, you know, and didn't feel joyful, didn't feel anything spiritually close to God. It's just that little separation, and it's reminded of me when God has His hand upon us, upon a nation, and He pulls it back just a little bit, right away we feel it. We want to walk in the presence of God, and not that we do anything wrong to do that, but I think it's a reminder when He's using you in a mighty way, and you feel His presence and His Holy Spirit with you, and He says, and you're like, God, what's going on? God, I just feel so weird. I can't even put my finger. I can't explain it, but something's not right. He goes, I'm here. It's kind of like when you let your kids venture a little bit, you know? in the grocery store, and they think they're all that in a bag of chips, you know, and they're walking, and you just kind of let them go a little bit, and they're like, and they freak out because you're not there. And you know that feeling, or when they're riding a bike and you let it go, and they're all, ah, you know, and they freak out when they see that you're not there. I think God does that to us every now and then to show us it's not us, it's Him. He's the one who uses us. Apart from Him, we're nothing. We're in dumpster. We're in Moab. Let's look at the word commitment. First time it's mentioned is in Genesis chapter 39. I'll read verses 1 through 8. It says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. That's how God's presence overshadows us and overtakes us. And when we're in the midst of unbelievers or believers who are young in the faith, and they recognize God's hand upon us, and he saw that God was with him in all that he did. How do we react in a tough situation, in a bad situation? People are watching us, and God is watching us. And oftentimes he allows certain things in to test or to instruct us to see if we're going to run to a Moab or to whatever idol we have for comfort rather than him. And in verse 4, so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Notice he served. We need to serve. We need to serve our masters in the flesh, i.e. our boss. We need to serve one another. We need to serve at church. We need to serve and have commitment. That's the key word in the book of Ruth, is the commitment that she had, that God had. Then he made him overseer of the house. Notice how he's the lifter of our head, the Bible says. When things, and you serve and serve and you serve, and they'll never notice me, Lord. Nobody's noticed me. Nobody's given me a raise, or nobody's helping me out in this time. God sees that. And all that he had, and he put Joseph under his authority. He put everyone under Joseph's authority. And in verse 5, and so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field, because of a righteous man, a godly man, serving well, being faithful in all things. God blessed the people around him. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had. There was so much, except that for the bread which he ate. He didn't worry about anything. He knew that he had a guy that he could trust. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, casting longing eyes on Joseph, she wanted Joseph. She said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed that, there's that word, all that he has to my hand. And you know the story. He doesn't lie with her. He doesn't fall for it. She even takes and pulls his clothes off, and he runs basically in his underwear. He just takes off running. And the Bible teaches us that that's how we flee sexual immorality. We run from it. You know, just flee it. Get out of there as soon as you can. The longer you linger, the harder it's going to be, and you may fall. Joseph knew that. And he had a relationship with God that he says, how can I do this against my God? Not against his boss, not against himself. He says, how can I do this against my God? The word commitment there, it's Nathan or Nathan. It's a prime root word. It's the beginning of other words. It means to give, commit it, trust it. He was trusted because of his commitment he gave him. He committed his household to him. The next thing is in Malachi chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. This is the last time the word committed shows up. It's the word asha or asa, and it means to do or to make. It says in verse 10 of chapter 2 of the book of Malachi, "Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another? We should not. We should be kind to one another. We should be helpful to one another. We should be polite to one another. We shouldn't raise our voice to one another." The Bible says that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of Christ. If we're witnessing, us getting upset doesn't produce any righteousness whatsoever. But a calm spirit does. And it says in verse 11, "Judah has dealt treacherously and an abomination has been committed." Different word. This word committed, and there was an abomination in the land of Israel and Jerusalem. "For Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god." They were marrying not Christians with Christians, but Christians with unbelievers. Christians with people who worshipped foreign deities in the land of Moab, the god of Baal. You know, all these different things that they were worshiping. And they started to intermarry with that. And God says, no, no. "The Lord's holy institution, which he loves, he has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts." They were going to church, i.e. to temple. They were going to worship the Lord. They were taking their sacrifices, but they were doing the opposite of what the Word of God instructed them. And God says, are you kidding me? You're coming over here and you're bowing and you're praising and you're doing these things which I specifically, and not did you didn't fall into them. You transgressed. You willfully thought about it. And you did it anyway. Asa. They made a transgression. The first time that word committed was mentioned, it was entrusted. He was committed. And here, the last time, it's a transgression. How we go from being trusted and God gives us and gives us, and once he starts to bless us, it's a dangerous place, because the Bible says in Deuteronomy, be careful when you in the land which I gave you, when you're in the houses which you did not build, when you're drinking from the wells that you did not dig, be careful lest you forget the Lord your God who brought you there. When things are prosperous, when finances are good, when you have shelter and vehicles and clothing and food, be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God who brought you there. Because without it, we got nothing. The hand is off. And then we surely find out what happens. That's what's going to happen to Naomi. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went and dwelled in the country of Moab, he and his wife, his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of the wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And they took the two wives, women of Moab," same thing that we just read in Malachi, "started to intermarry, not Christian with Christian or godly gals with godly guys, but they intermarry. And the name of one was Orpah and the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there for about 10 years. And then both Mahlon and Chilion, they died also. And the woman survived her two sons and her husband." So there's Naomi. Now I'm going to use the names, because Elimelech means God is my king. Naomi means pleasant or delight. Mahlon means puny. Chilion means sickly. Ephrathites means fruitfulness. Bethlehem, house of bread. Judah, praise. And Moab, dumpster or washpot. Now, I'll kind of read it in the context using those words, and it's kind of like a fairy tale thing. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when judges ruled that there was famine in the land, and a certain man of house of bread in the county of praise went to dwell in the country of washpot or dumpster. And he and his wife and his two sons, the name of the man was, God is my king. And his wife was named Pleasant. And the names of their two sons were Puny and Sickly. Can you imagine having two sons and you look at them and you go, I think I'll call this one Puny. And this one, he looks kind of sickly. Let's just call him Sickly. Then the Ephrathites, you know, it says in the Puny and Sickly were there. Fruitfulness of the house of bread of praise. And they went to the county of Dumpster. And they remained there. Why would you remain in the dumpster when God has given you a beautiful place to be? And then this man, his name is My God is King. Then My God is King, Pleasant's husband, he died. And she was left with the two sons, Sickly and Puny. And Sickly and Puny, they took wives of the women of Dumpster. And the name of one was Dear. And the other one was Beauty. That's our Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. But both Puny and Sickly, they also died. And the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then Pleasant arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Dumpster. For she had heard in the country of Dumpster while she was there, that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of praise. Now Pleasant said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. They had showed kindness to her. And she says, the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. They had grown to love one another, the time they spent together. Just because people aren't Christians doesn't mean you can't love them or they can't love. They loved each other. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Pleasant said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? In those days, the tradition, if one died, she would marry the next son. But she didn't have another son. Both were gone. And she explains to them, turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight even, and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown, because that was their way? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters. For it grieves me very much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me! When we leave everything that God has, when God blesses us, and we're walking in the house of bread, and we're living in a place of praise, and things are good, and for some reason we look at that one sin, the one thing that we haven't dealt with, and rather than staying in the presence of the Lord and the shelter of His wings, we go out into that place that we ought not be. And we forsake the Lord. And we worship that God. It's a God in our life. It's a God that's not to be worshipped. And we walk away from our God, the only true God. And it says in verse 14, then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Dear kissed her mother-in-law, but Beauty clung to her. They were moved with emotion. Both of them cried, but only one stayed. When I deal with people who are coming out of sin sometimes there's tears. Tears don't necessarily mean repentance. It could be remorsefulness. It could be tears of, I can't believe I got caught. Or tears of, man, I'm going through the fire, I'm going through the consequences of my sin. I can't take it. But are they tears of repentance? Emotion doesn't equate to devotion. In fact, the Bible says for us to guard our emotions. But Ruth clung. And you'll see times when friends will drift away. Close friends, Christian friends. And they may even cry and shed a tear. But they still go. And then there's those that stick closer than a brother. Jesus is the one who sticks closer than a brother. And you could be the one. It could be you. Commitment. Nathan. It's entrusting. I trust you. I trust you. That's what friendship's all about. She clung to her and said, she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." Commitment. Whether it be friendship, marriage, children to their parents, parents to their children. Commitment. She was something else. No wonder her name was Beauty. She was beautiful. I don't know if outside, but inside we can see she was beautiful. And when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. She entreated her not, as she asked her to. Now the two of them went until they came to the house of bread. And it happened when they had come to the house of bread that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "It's pleasant." And she said to them, "Do not call me pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. For Almighty God has dealt very bitterly with me." Notice the anger. When there's anger in there, it's never a good thing. Anger is a bad thing. We are called to control our anger. Be angry and do not sin. What does that mean? I believe that it stirs our emotions and it gets our goat going, if you will. You just want to and start hitting everybody. But we're to contain it. James says in chapter 3 that the tongue is a deadly little thing. And it's set on fire, and it's set on fire by hell. You want to get angry and sin? Release that fire. You want to be angry and not sin? Contain that fire. Contain it. You can do it. You can do all things through Jesus who strengthens you. You can do it. Notice, everybody's happy to see her. Isn't it wonderful when a brother who is or sister has been out in the world of trash can or wash pot or dumpster, just serving other gods, intermarried and going through horrible situations, when they finally come to their senses and they come back to church and everybody's, just love on them. No need to ask them, "Where have you been? It's about time. I've been praying for you. I heard you were in dumpster." No, just be happy. Give them a hug. Give them a handshake. Do whatever it takes. Just say, "It's so good to see you." Just love on them. And she's bitter now. Kind of keep that in mind. When you see them coming back, they might be a little rough around the edges, if you know what I mean. It's okay. You're a mature Christian. Just kind of start filing those edges with love, kindness. Just like Ruth showed kindness to Naomi. Naomi's a bitter woman. A Christian in sin is hard to be around. They indulge in a little bit of sin, and you may know what it is, or you may not know what's going on, but they're hard to be around. A Christian who, for the most part, is devoted to God, just pleasant, just like Naomi's name is, just pleasant to be around. She's in sin, not so pleasant. She's bitter, she's Mara. And it says in verse 21, "I went out full." Notice what she says. Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. You know, the Lord's been bitterly dealing with me. "So I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again, empty. Why do you call me pleasant? Since the Lord has testified against me, the Almighty has afflicted me." And Pleasant returned, and Beauty, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. She's committed. Who returned from the country of washpot or trash can, dumpster, whatever you want to call it. And now they came to the house of bread at the beginning of the barley harvest. When else? Passover. in April, more or less, our April. When else are we going to return to the house of bread, where God feeds us with the manna from heaven, if not through Jesus? Jesus is our Passover. You can't get back to God any other way. If you've pulled away and you've been down in the dumpster for a while and you're wanting to pull out of there, there's only one way out. There's only one door. There's only one way. His name is Jesus. Jesus. How do I get back, Pete? How do I get back to the place where I felt His hand upon me? How do I get there? Just say His name. Jesus. Jesus. I love You, Jesus. Take me back. Forgive me my sins. Help me not to wander there again. Help me to be safe. Make my life pleasant again. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we thank You, Lord, for Your Word and the way that You allow us to be ministered by Your Word. Just like in Exodus chapter 15, when the people were coming out of the strong hand of Pharaoh, out of Egypt, which is a type of the world, once they crossed that sea, they were totally dependent upon You in the desert. You fed them, Lord. Not just manna, but meat. Their shoes didn't wear out. Father, if there's anyone here who's drifted from You in any way, I know this is the time for them to get right with You. The time for all of us just to draw closer to You a little bit more. Help us to be a little bit more committed, Lord God. You've trusted us with Your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would go out and reach the world. And Father, that we would go out and make disciples, Lord God. Not that we would commit transgressions or make transgressions. You trusted us, Lord. Help us to trust You. Help us to behave as You've called us to behave, one with another. We love You so much, Lord. Help us just to be strong. Help us, Father God, to be fruitful, to be able to praise You, to be able to seek You and to walk in Your Word as closely as we can. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. God bless you guys.